This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, Baruch HaBayim, welcome everyone to our first year here in the new Beis HaKnesses. Kehilas Avos Yisrael here in Cedarhurst. The first year is sponsored by Yedidi, my friend and neighbor of Nachum Fuchs. Shabbi Zchus for him and his whole mishpacha, for Simcha Sanachas, Abiyas Goel Tzedek. Parshat Shemois, it's always a good place to start. We have a classic pasuk, one of the fundamental pasukim in Chumash, in Parak Dalet, pasuk Chav Beis. Ribon Shem comes to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Ribon Shem tells Moshe, deliver the following message to Paroi. Ribon Shem tells Moshe, V'yamarte el Paroi, koyomar Hashem, so says the Lord, B'ni b'choyri Yisrael. My son, my firstborn, is Israel. Okay, what a beautiful pasuk. Now, the simple meaning of this pasuk, at first glance, is that in order to have a bechar, how many people here are a bechar? So in order to be a bechar, there have to be other siblings in the family. If there are no other siblings, simply you would not be a bechar. Bechar is a relative term. You're firstborn, meaning first means by definition there's a second. You can't call someone first if they're the only. An only is not a first. So if the Jewish people are called God's firstborn son, that implies that God has other sons, but we're just the firstborn. And in fact, the Chizkuni is Medayik. Look at number 5. Chizkuni, Reb Chizkiyo Chizkuni, one of the Rishonim, who his method of learning Chumash was to quote from about 20 different Rishonim. Most notably, he quoted from Rashi, but he would not tell you where he gets it from. And he believed, contrary to, I guess, the general viewpoint, that it's better not to quote a source and let the reader and let the studier basically determine on his own the value of, based on the content alone. Because sometimes you say over Dvar Torah, Chassam Sofer, oh, Chassam Sofer said it must be good. You know, the Minchas Pinchas says it. Let people judge based on the content and not based on the one who said it. So the Chizkuni would not quote the sources. And he says, "Kol ha'umos banayhem." All of the nations of the world are my children. Meaning, if the Jewish people are God's firstborn, then all the nations of the world—the North Koreans, the Iranians—they're all God's kids. Avo Yisrael chavivin lefanay yoser. The Jewish people are more beloved. V'heim habachar, they are the firstborn. Shehim olu b'machshava, they aroused in the mind of God. Lihibarois kaidem shamuma, to be created before any nation. In other words, God has many children. All, perhaps all 70 nations of the world are the children of the Ribbono Shel Olam. But we're the Bechar, and what does it mean we're the Bechar? God didn't physically bear us and give birth to us. It means that conceptually, when the Ribbono Shel Olam was planning to create the world, he had in mind the Jewish people as the purpose of creation. So, what? Okay, that's how the Chizkuni, we're going to get to that, right? Well, that's according to the Chizkuni, that's what the pasuk is saying, that all the nations of the world are God's children, and Klal Yisrael are the firstborn. And the question that we're going to ask, like Asi is alluding to, is that we've spoken many, many times, based on the pasuk of Banim Atem LaShem LeKechem, the pasuk in Parshas Re'eh, where Banim Atem LaShem LeKechem seems to emphasize that only the Jewish people are the children of Hashem. After all, it says Banim Atem. Atem is exclusive. It's exclusionary. For example, we know the famous Gemara in Shabbos and in elsewhere, it says Atem Adam Atem. You are man. And the Gemara Darshan's Klal Yisrael is called man. The nations of the world are not considered man. Likewise, we were authorized to read Banim Atem. You are Hashem's children, and the nations of the world are not Hashem's children. And that's exactly how the Mishnah reads in Pirkei Avos. We all know the famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. You know, you might hear on the media or elsewhere or read that, you know, after all, we're all the children of the Lord. But we believe that's nonsense. It's not true. Because the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, you have it on your sheet, Hu haya oimer, this is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva used to say, Chaviv Adam shenivra b'tzelem. Man is beloved, that all of man is created in the image of God. Chiba yisera, an extra love man was endowed with, Noidas lo shenivra b'tzelem, that he was notified that he was created in the image of Hashem, shenemar ki b'tzelem alakim asas Adam. Meaning, man kind are not the children of God. They're God's creations. They're created in His image, but they're not His children. The Mishnah continues, Chavivin Yisrael shenikru banim lamakim. The Jewish people have an extra endearment that they are called the children of Hashem. Chiba Yisera, an extra love was shown to them, shenoidas lohem shenikru banim lamakim, that they were told they're called Hashem's children, shenemar banim atem Hashem lekecham. So, really we have a number of questions over here. Basically, we have three questions. Number one, why do I need two psukim in Chumash? One, b'ni b'chayri Yisrael, that were God's firstborn child. After all, then the pasuk banim atem l'Hashem lekechem is not necessary. Once we're God's firstborn, why do I need a pasuk that we're His children? Obviously, we're His children if we're even His firstborn. Secondly, when you look in the Mishnah Perkei Avos, that the Mishnah is trying to prove that we're His children, why does the Mishnah quote the Pasuk, Banim Atem L'Hashem L'Kechem? Why doesn't the Mishnah quote the Pasuk earlier in this week's parasha, in Shemais, of B'ni B'chayri Yisrael? And the million-dollar question that we're going to address tonight is the Kasha of Rebbe Chanan. Rebbe Chanan V'Aserman Hashem Imkom Damai. And that is, Rebbe Chanan asks that the two psukim are soiser each other. It's a contradiction. Because if the pasuk says, B'ni B'chayri Yisrael, that the Jewish people are the firstborn, that implies, by definition, if we're firstborn, then if there's a first, then there's a Ben Pashut as well. Then there are other children. That means all the nations of the world are Hashem's children, as the Chizkuni in fact says. And that's a contradiction to the Mishnah and Avos that only Klal Yisrael are considered the children of Hashem. Got the kasha? Are all the nations the children of Hashem? God tells Moshe, tell Paroi, you're all my kinderlach, Klal Yisrael is the Bechor. And we get to Parshas Re'eh, and no, Banim Atem Hashem Elokeichem. I remember, what are the next words? Loi? Loi Tiskoididu. I remember I once gave a shir on Loi Tiskoididu. So a guy came over to me after, Rabbi, it's Loi Siskoididu. Thank you so much, right? But it is Loisus Gaidu. But that's the stira, that's the stira Rabbi Chanan. So Rabbi Chanan offers the following answer. And the answer Rabbi Chanan suggests is as follows. We know there's a pasuk in, later on in Sefer Shemais, in Parshas Bo'i, look at number 6. Daberna ba'oznei ha'am, v'yishalu, ish me'yis re'yehu, v'yisha me'yis ru'usa, chlei chesef v'chlei zahav. So Hashem tells Moshe, speak to the people, and each man should borrow me'es re'ehu, from their friend. And each woman should borrow from her friend. Now, what word are we using to describe an Egyptian friend, rea? Is a Gentile called re'acha? When the Torah says, v'ahavta l're'acha kamecha, you should love your friend like yourself. Is there a mitzvah to love akum? There's no mitzvah to love an akum. Are you allowed to love an Akum? I don't think so. An Akum is not Re'acha. Only the Gemara Darshan so many times. Re'acha b'mitzvahis. Only a Jew is called your friend. You only have that friendship and the kinship with Yidden. So why would the Pasuk say, Ish me'is re'ehu, we're not borrowing from other Yidden, we're borrowing from Mitzriim. Mitzri is not Re'acha. When the Torah says Re'acha, it means a Yid. Only a Yid is Re'acha. I'll give you an example. Are you, technically speaking, this is a halacha that people are very surprised about. You're walking down the street, and I can't translate everything now for obvious reasons. You're walking down the street, and you find a wallet. And it belongs to an oyvei koychavim u'mazalos. Are you technically allowed to return it? You're not allowed to. Is it a drabanon? It's iser d'oraisa. Really? Yeah. It says, L'man sefois ha-ravet, technically you're not allowed to return it. Okay, there are factors of Kiddush Hashem that may override, there are factors of emes that may override, but technically speaking, no. All the mitzvahs, lending money, all the interpersonal mitzvahs do not apply to Akum. And you may not be allowed to certain of them. Because only a Jew is called achicha. Only v'ahavta re'acha kamecha. Only a Jew is called your rea. Only a Jew is called your achicha. So why would the Torah say v'yishalu ishmeis rea v'ishmeis rusa? So says Rabbeinu Bechaye very simply. What makes the brotherhood of the Jewish people? What makes the kinship of the Jewish people? What we have in common, our commonality, is not the DNA, not the fact that we belong. The only commonality that gives a closeness between one Jew and another is shmiras hamitzvos. is the observance of mitzvahs. So before the Torah was given, in fact, there was a fraternity, there was a brotherhood of all mankind. Because we're all in it together, we're all equal. So a Jew and a Gentile, they have achva, they have reyos. But once the Torah was given, there is no more achva between Yisrael la'amim. There's no more brotherhood, there's no friendship, there's no kinship. It's all over. Only Jews are called brothers. Laman achai v'rei'ai. Like it says, let's say when it comes to ribbis. You're now to charge a Yehudi ribbis. You're allowed to charge an Oyvei Kecham Azolis ribbis. Why? Because it says, Loisashech achicha. They're not achicha. But what do you mean? In Parshas Boy, they're re'acha. In Boy, they're re'acha. But not anymore. So says Rabbi Chanan, maybe the same thing. If the brotherhood of the Jewish people is created by the Torah, if we're brothers, right? If me and you are brothers, what does that mean? It's because we have the same father. We're all Banim Lashem. So we could say, says Rav Chanan, that before the Torah was given, all the nations of the world were children of Hashem. And we're all brothers. And therefore, Klal Yisrael's distinction is only we're the Bechar. But North Koreans are also Banim Lashem. Because it's not like we have the Torah and they don't. So therefore, we're all equally brothers. Once the Torah was given, they're demoted. They're not Banim Lashem anymore. Only the Jewish people become Banim Lashem. That's Rav Chanan's answer. Yeah? In other words, Parshas Shemois is before the Torah was given. Parshas Re'eh is after the Torah was given. The same way in Boy, they're Re'acha and they're Achicha. And afterwards, they're not Re'acha and they're not Achicha. So too, they are Banim, and then later on, they're no longer Banim.
Are you allowed to heal them?
Now? Today?
After the Torah was given.
It's a Shaila. I mean, Mipnei Eva, Mipnei Darke Shalom, only for like external superimposed reasons. But on Shabbos,
there are
superimposed reasons. But in ideal world, I'll give you a mashal. Let's say you find an object, and you know it belongs to an Akam, and there's no Kiddush Hashem. Let's say you buy something on a computer site. And if you return it, nobody's going to know because you're returning it to a robot. Can't. Again, there's always going to be the Kiddush Hashem because maybe someone's going to find out, that kind of. But let's say, in a test tube, right, in a perfect laboratory where all outside factors are removed, you're not allowed to. Okay, so the Rabbi Chanan dismisses this answer. But let's stick with this answer for a moment. Again, Rabbi Chanan's answer is that before the Torah was given, all mankind are Banim Lashem. After the Torah was given, only the Jewish people are considered Banim Lashem. So interestingly, in the Sefer Beichia, number 10, anybody know who wrote the Beichia? Beichia is written by a contemporary rabbi in the Five Towns in Lawrence. Yeah, you probably daven in his shul, by the way. Rabbi Elisha Horowitz, you daven there? Yeah, you daven there. So your rabbi wrote a book called Beichia. So he says as follows. He says, he wants to suggest, based on Rabbi Chanan's answer, we understand why the Mishnah did not quote the Pasuk in Shemois, right? The Mishnah says, Chaviv in Yisrael, Shenikru Banim Lamakim. So we ask, why didn't the Tana pick the Pasuk, B'ni B'chayri Yisrael? Says Rabbi Horowitz, very pashut. Because B'ni B'chayri Yisrael does not prove the exclusivity that only the Jewish people are the children of Hashem. In fact, B'ni B'chayri Yisrael implies we're all Banim Lamakim, and Klal Yisrael is just the Bechar. We need to go to the pasuk after the Torah was given of Banim Atem Lashem Aleikechem to prove Chaviv in Yisrael Shenikru Banim La'amakim. That's what the Beichia suggests. Other reasons, by the way, why the Tana did not quote the pasuk B'ni B'chari Yisrael, the Tosfos Yom Tov says, is if it would have just said B'ni B'chari Yisrael, you would have thought God is only addressing that particular generation. Only the generation of the Midbar is considered B'ni B'chari Yisrael. But subsequent generations, maybe they don't earn that title. So we have the pasuk, Banim Atem Lashem Aleikechem. Now, Banim Atem Lashem Aleikechem is said in the context of mitzvahs. Lois siskoi deduv, lois asimu karcha einechem almeis. In the context, just like mitzvahs are ledoirois, so the concept of Banim Atem Lashem Aleikechem is ledoirois. And therefore, from there we know it applies for all time. The Medrash Shmuel, quoted by the Tosfos Yom Tov, also gives another approach. Why didn't the Tana quote the pasuk of B'ni B'chari Yisrael? So he says very simply, The purpose of the Mishnah is the Mishnah is trying to say, Chiba Yisera Noidas Lahem. The great love Hashem had that He articulated to the Jewish people how much He loves them. B'ni B'chari Yisrael, Ribbono Shel Olam is not talking to Klal Yisrael. Ribbono Shel Olam is telling Moshe, Moshe, tell Paroi that the Jewish people are my firstborn. So that doesn't show the great love. When Hashem tells the Jewish people, I love you, that demonstrates the great love. Right? L'mashal. If you tell your mother-in-law how much you love your wife, okay, doesn't necessarily do too much for your wife. If you tell her what you feel, that, you know, that means something. So too, the fact that Ribbono Shel Olam told Paroi, you know, what you tell the outside world doesn't necessarily indicate how you really feel. It's when Ribbono Shel Olam is addressing Klal Yisrael directly. Okay, but the bottom line is, Rabbi Chanan rejects this pshat. Rabbi Chanan says you cannot say that B'ni B'chari Yisrael is only after the Torah is given. And that's because, if you take a look at number 8, there's a pasuk in Yirmiyah. The pasuk in Yirmiyah says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls Ephraim. Now Ephraim is a reference to the Jewish people. The Jewish people are often called Ephraim. Right? Like the pasuk says, HaBin Yaker Li Ephraim. Hashem tells Ephraim B'chairihu, you're my Bechar. Jewish people, you're my Bechar. That implies, even after the Torah was given, we are the firstborn. We are the firstborn, and the rest of the world are still the children of Hashem. So that Rabbi Chanan ends off the Tzarchian. He ends off, there's a stira in the Torah. You know, it's one thing, you have a stira in Gemaras, but you have a stira in Psukim. You have one pasuk in Parashat Shemois, that all the nations of the world are God's children, and we're just the Bechar. And we have a pasuk in Re'eh, that only Klal Yisrael are banim. Now, Kishani La'atzmi, I would answer the question very simply. The whole question is predicated on the fact that if Klal Yisrael is the Bechar, that implies there's another son who is a regular son. Because an only son is not a Bechar. Is that true? An only son is not a Bechar? I would say, you're not a Bechar for inheritance. You're not getting a double portion because you're getting everything. But in terms of Kedushas Bechar, you're still the firstborn. You're still going to fast on Tainas Bechairim. You still have to be redeemed. So when Ribbono Shel Olam was telling Klal Yisrael, B'ni, you're my son. But not only are you my son, you also have the Kedusha of the firstborn. It doesn't mean there's anyone else who's even a son. But I would have thought that it wouldn't be a stira. But this is Rabbi Chanan's stira.
So,
yeah?
Why the double lashon?
Where?
You're usually Yisrael La'av, but then Ephraim is the Yisrael. So what do you mean you're using double lashon for the same thing? In other words, he's using Ephraim to catch a distinction to Yisrael.
Right. Why first is it called Yisrael and then called Ephraim?
Right.
Each word probably connotes a different dimension that the pasuk is trying to bring out. In other words, sometimes we're called Yisrael, sometimes we're called Ephraim. So this pasuk is using both words, trying to bring out a dimension of both. Okay, the Svarno says something very interesting. Svarno says, Rabbi Avadya Svarno, that the pasuk of B'ni B'chayri Yisrael is going on La'asid Lavi, is going on the future. Is not going on now, is going on the future. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is explaining a very interesting phenomenon. Because we know La'asid Lavai, when Mashiach comes, all the nations of the world are going to recognize Hashem, are going to serve Hashem, B'shchem Echad, with one shoulder, with one subservience. All the nations of the world are going to recognize Hashem. So you can imagine, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be, Ki Beisi, Beis Tfila, Yikarei L'chol Ha'amim. Everyone's going to pile into the shul. You're going to have Jews, Italians, North Koreans. The shul is going to be packed. Yidin, Goyim. So the question is, in what way do the Jewish people have any distinction if all the nations of the world will recognize Hashem? So the Svarno says that's what the pasuk is saying. There are going to be two differences between Klal Yisrael and Asad Lavai. Number one, the rest of the world, yes, they'll serve Hashem, but they'll serve Him as His avodim. But we will be serving Hashem out of love because we're His children. That's the first distinction of the Jewish people. B'ni. It doesn't mean now, it means in the future. B'ni B'chayri Yisrael. The first thing is, in the future, when all the nations of the world serve God, we will have distinction in that we serve Him out of love. And number two, we will always be God's Bechar. What does that mean? That even if you're going to be standing and praying right next to a Gentile, you'll always have the distinction that you're not a bandwagon jumper, right? You know, who are you rooting for, you know, in the NFL? I'll let you know in 3 weeks, right? I'll let you know in 3 weeks. That's what most people do. So the distinction we're going to have is that we're going to say, we always served Hashem, even when times were tough. So number one, we're going to serve Hashem out of love. And number two, we're going to serve, we have the distinction that we're the Bechar. Now, the Sfarim point out that according to that, Rabbi Chanan's Kasha is not a Kasha. Because it's not saying, right now, we're the firstborn. It's going on La'asid Lavai. And it's saying two distinct dimensions of the Jewish people. And it doesn't mean to indicate that the nations of the world are also his children. Okay. Then there's a simple Rashi. Which is, according to Rashi, would seem, Rabbi Chanan's Kasha doesn't even begin. Because what in the world does it mean we're God's Bechar? You know, God did not physically bear us or give birth to us. So what does it mean we're His firstborn child? So Rashi says Bechar, yeah, Rashi says Bechar does not mean firstborn. Bechar means, Rashi says, Lashem Gedula. It means greatness. You are my great son. Now, does that imply God has other sons? Or are you saying two things? It's a, number one, you're my child. And number two, you're great. You know, besides for me, not everybody has, every child is great, you know. Sometimes you can have a child that's not great. But Hashem is saying, no, Bani, you're my child. And Bechayri is a Lashon of Gedula. Okay. But here's the main offering for tonight. Rav Hutner, in the Ma'amarei Pachad Yitzchak, that I happened to stumble across this, Rav Hutner is also bothered by Rabbi Chanan's Kasha. Again, the Kasha is, on the one hand, B'ni B'chari Yisrael, that implies the nations of the world are Banim, because B'char is a relative term, so we're B'char relative to who? Must be the nations of the world. And on the other hand, it's Banim Atem. Says Rav Hutner, there's a gross misunderstanding about Klal Yisrael. How's that? If I were to ask you, know how many Jews are in the world today?
13 million.
13 million. Something like that. 13 million Jews. Is everyone equally a Jew? You would think yes. Despite your level of observance, nobody's more a Jew than somebody else. Yisrael afa pishachata Yisrael hu. In other words, the Gadol Ador is not more a Jew than someone who's not shomer, than, let's say, someone who is not as careful in halacha. Rav Hutner quotes Rabbeinu Gershon. Now, Rabbeinu Gershon, I'll give you a little historical background. Rabbeinu Gershon was born in France in the year 960, and he passed away, how are we doing? In Germany, in the year 1040. Rabbeinu Gershon was a Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda Leontin, and he also learned from Rav Hai Goin. Rabbeinu Gershon learned from Rav Hai Goin. Most people don't think that Rabbeinu Gershon was so early. And he was one of the greatest Talmid Chachamim in all of Germany. He had Talmidim from Provence, from Spain, and his yeshiva was the most prestigious yeshiva in the world, and for the first time in history, it eclipsed the yeshivas in Bavel of Sura and Pompadisa. What's amazing is in the 11th century, there were still yeshivas in Bavel. Those were the major Torah academies in the world for about 1,000 years until Rav Hai Goin moved the center of Torah scholarship from Babylonia to Germany. And this was a major upheaval in Klal Yisrael, major change in Klal Yisrael. Because until then, Iraq, Bavel was the center of Torah scholarship, and Rav Hai Goin's Talmud, Rabbeinu Gershon, moved it to Germany. He taught Rashi's Rebbe, he taught many, many of the early Rishonim. He wrote a Perush on the entire Bavli, but we only have a few Masechtas of Rabbeinu Gershon, of Bava Basra, we have Erechin, we have Tainis. And the Gersois of Talmud Bavli that we have today is mainly thanks to Rabbeinu Gershon. In fact, Rashi had the Talmud written in the handwriting of Rabbeinu Gershon. Now we know Rabbeinu Gershon is famous for his many charamim. The most well-known charam of Rabbeinu Gershon is what? Come on, last week, you're not allowed to talk in a shul. Right? Right. But besides that one, which everybody knows about, you can't marry two wives. You can't divorce your wife against her will, and you can't read other people's mail. Which, by the way, is an interesting thing. I send you a text message. I want to forward it to somebody else. You allowed to do that? Or is that a chirim de Rabbeinu Gershom? He never gave you permission to show to somebody else. Is it a chirim to forward someone else's text or email without their rishus? Now it's interesting. Reuven wrote a message to Shimon. Shimon wants to share it with Levi.
So every letter is like that. From a letter.
Pashup
shat. You can't give your letter to someone else to read?
Of course, not the same as opening someone else's
letter. Opening someone else's different.
You're the receiver giving it to somebody else.
So I'm giving it to you. Let's say it's made out to me. I have mail made out to me. So you're not allowed to read it. Why can't you read my mail? Why are you not allowed to read my mail? It's a breach of my confidentiality. So,
you're saying that the Isser is opening someone else's mail.
Right.
Because the person who's supposed to get it hasn't seen it yet, and you're opening up that person's mail. And a text message or something you're forwarding, the person who's receiving it, it's like giving my mail that you sent me to someone else to read. I've already seen it, now I'm giving it to him to read.
Okay, so what would it be like if I wrote you a letter and you wanted to show somebody else what I wrote to you?
Right, that's something else. If you write
No, zil basar taima. In other words, if I wrote it to you, I never gave you rishus to show anybody else. Pashtus, right? Pashtus it is. In other words, Rabbeinu Yonah writes, Stam, if I tell you information...
It wouldn't be possible, then there would be no tshuvas. We'd never see all these tshuvas that people write to Rabbanim. They wouldn't be able to promise
no.
them.
So there it's understood like this. If I tell you something, and it's understood that, you know, get the word out... then you're allowed to say it. But if I tell you information, let's say I tell you, next week where am I going?
Ukraine.
Next week I'm going to Ukraine. You're not allowed to tell anybody. Even if I don't tell you, you're not allowed to tell somebody.
Whistle.
Right? Something like that. Anyway, basically it's very interesting, why did Rabbeinu Gershon say you can't marry two wives? Why not? So there's a Kabbalistic reason we once spoke about by Shaul Shus, but there's a very simple social reason. You have to realize this was in the age of the power and the grandeur of Christianity. And in the Christian world, marriage was considered immoral. It was considered immoral to be married. The relation with a woman is considered a lewd act. Let alone polygamy was considered outright Gilui Arayos. So to preserve the dignity of Judaism, Rabbeinu Gershon forbid marrying two wives because of the way it would look to the Christian world. Then the problem became that if you had one wife, it would increase the chances of divorce. So he had to sort of ensure that one woman that you do marry, you can't just force her, you can't get rid of her against her will. What, the church?
The church didn't get involved in marrying both people until the 12th, 13th century.
But, and in the 11th century, it was that Rabbeinu Gershon was addressing the attitudes of the church. Now, the other thing is about with letters. He says, Jewish businesses, the system of merchants was dependent on the confidentiality of the letters. Every letter was sealed with the letters Beis, Ches, Dalet, Resh, Gimel. What does that mean? Becherem de Rabbeinu Gershon. Every letter had on it, you know, by the opening of the letter, a seal, Becherem de Rabbeinu Gershon. It was considered, and a few hundred years later, the secular world sort of caught on of the value of confidentiality. Okay, so Rabbeinu Gershon says like this, that even though all Jews are equal, but they're not all equal. There are two types of Jews. There's Klal Yisrael as a whole, but there are always 600,000 Jews that are the core of Klal Yisrael. There were 600,000 Jews who left Egypt, and in every generation, Klal Yisrael proper are Shishim Ribay. Now, when we say that only the Jewish people are children of Hashem, that means every single Jew is one of the Ribbono Shel Olam's kinderlach. Every Yid, every person whose mother is a Jew is considered Banim Lashem. So what does it mean, B'ni B'chayri Yisrael? Doesn't that imply that we're firstborn vis-a-vis the nations of the world? Says Rav Hutner, no. The 600,000 Jews are B'char relative to what we call Tefalim, secondary Jews. Say, how do you write that? That's not a nice concept. So the Gemara mentions it many, many times. Every time the Gemara says that 600,000 Jews left Egypt, the Gemara asks, but there were many children, there were many people above, and the Gemara deems them Tefalim. Tefalim means secondary. Says Rav Hutner, in every generation, there are what we call the main corpus of Klal Yisrael. By the way, like you'll ask, we know the Zohar says Yisrael are Yeshishim Riba Yosias LaTorah. There's 600,000 letters in the Torah. And we say every Jew has a connection to their letter. So the question is, but there are millions of Jews. The answer is only the Shishim Riboy are cored in the Shishim Riboy Oisiyos. The Tfilim, they have a share in what we call the parchment, but not the Oisiyos. So this is how Rav Hutner answers the question. The Shishim Riboy Yidin are called Banim and they're called Bechayrim. Who are they Bechar relative to? They're relative to Tefalim, what we call the Yidden who are not part of the elite 600,000. They're also Banim. They're also God's kids relative to the nations of the world, but they're not Bechar. That's how Rav Hutner learns this sugya. Now, we've discussed many, many times the machloikis between Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. We know that the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Lamed Vav brings a famous machloikis. What is our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that it depends how we act. If we don't act like God's children, we're considered His avodim. If we act like His children, we're considered banim lamakim. That's the shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Bezman she'oisin ritzon shel makim, we're called avodim. Bezman she'ein oisin, we're called banim. Bezman she'ein oisin ritzon shel makim, we're called avodim. And Rav Meir's shita famously is what? We're always considered the children of Hashem. So comes the Maral, and the Maral throws a twist into that sugya, a new angle of that sugya. And the Maral says that this, that Rabbi Yehuda holds, that when we don't do the will of Hashem, we're called Avodim, that's on an individual basis. Yeah? But nationally, Klal Yisrael as a whole, Klal Yisrael as a whole is always considered Banim Lamakim. Meaning nationally, we're always banim lamakim. Individually, if an individual does not act properly, then he could lose his individual status of ben, he'll be considered an eved. And the Maral is based on the Gemara in Pesachim, right? One of the most amazing Gemaras. The Gemara says that God came to Hosea. And, yeah? God came to Hosea, and He tells Hosea, your children sinned against me. So the Gemara says, Hosea should have told God, they're not my kids, they're your children. They're your beloved children. They're Bnei Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But Hosea didn't say that. Hosea said, you know what? Get rid of them. Chuck them. Hosea told God, yeah. Hosea told God, get rid of your kids. So Hashem was thinking, what should I do with this, Hosea? So Hashem came to Hosea. He said, Hosea, do me a favor. Go to the Beis Zoinos, go grab yourself a harlot, marry her, have children from harlotry, and he had a first child, and the first child's name, Hashem said, call him Yisrael. And then he had another child, and the second child was called Loi Ruchama. And he had a third child, and the third child was called Loi Ami. So the three beautiful children. Then God comes to Hosea and He says, get rid of your wife. And Hosea says, I can't get rid of my wife. I have kids from her. So Hashem says, these children from her, you know what this lady's name was? This lady's name was dried out fig, the Gemara says, because she was used by everybody. So Hashem says to Hosea, Hosea, you don't even know that these are your kids. Chances are they're not your kids. You know, there are many possibilities of who fathered these children. And yet you can't get rid of the woman because they might be your children. But the Klal Yisrael, they're definitely, definitely, definitely my children. So the Maral says, from this Gemara we learn that the whole Machloikus, Rav Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is only regarding Yechidim. You could look at any Yachid and say, You know, maybe you're an Eved, you're not a Ben. Maybe you're an Eved, you're not a Ben. Maybe you're an Eved, you're not a Ben. But Klal Yisrael collectively are always considered Banim LaMakom. Now, we happen to paskin like Rameyer that Ben Kach Negro Banim, that every Yachid is considered a Ben Tashem also. The Machloikas Rameyer and Rabbi Yudas on the Yachid, on the Rabim, were always Banim. Now, comes the Alshech, and the Alshech says, once the Torah says, B'ni B'chayre Yisrael, why do I need Banim Atem Hashem Lekechem? He says, very similar to Maral. He said, had it only been for B'ni B'chayre Yisrael, then I might have thought Klal Yisrael are only considered Banim nationally, on a national level. Collectively, we're all Banim Hashem, but net Lav Davka, each individual is considered a Ben Hashem. So I have another pasuk, Banim Atem Hashem Lekechem, that every single individual is considered a child. In other words, often a person thinks, you know, yeah, I'm at MetLife Stadium, and I'm part of this great nation who the Ribbono Shel Olam loves. But me personally, you know, Hashem, not sure how Hashem feels about me. No, that's what I would have thought if it just said B'ni B'chayri Yisrael. B'ni B'chayri Yisrael is a stamp on the collective entity of Klal Yisrael. Comes the pasuk, Banim Atem L'Hashem Elokeichem, that every single individual is considered a beloved child of Hashem. So based on the Maral and based on the Alshech, there's a Sefer Knesset Yisrael that says, going back to the Mishnah in Avos, now I know why the Mishnah did not quote the Pasuk, B'ni B'chayri Yisrael. That the Mishnah is not trying to say only that Klal Yisrael collectively are Banim Lashem. It's trying to say that every single Yachid is a Ben Lashem. So in this week's Parsha, when God comes to Moshe, and He tells Moshe, tell Paroi, let us out of Egypt, it's not relevant yet what the status of every individual Jew is. It's relevant, send out Klal Yisrael as an entity, because we're an entity of Banim Lashem. Not until Parshas Re'eh was it expressed that individually we are also, each individual Jew is considered a Ben Lashem. By the way, for those who have been following the Shiurim for many years, does anybody remember when in history did we become in the Banim Lashem, what do we usually say? Anyone remember? At Kriyas Yamsuf, Malchuscha Ra'u Banecha Boikea Yom Lefnei Moshe V'ra'u Banav Gvurasai Shebchavaydu Lashmai. In the Berachas Krishna, we say, by Yotzes, Amoy Yisrael Mitachim L'cheres Olam. When we left Egypt, we were Amoy. But by Kriyas Yamsuf, we became Banim. So always wondered, what do you mean? Paroi was told we're Banim. So why does the davening only indicate we're Banim at Kriyas Yamsuf? So we could say that when we left Egypt, we were only Banim nationally. We became Banim individually at the moment of Kriyas Yamsuf, but it wasn't yet articulated until Parshas Re'eh. Okay, Rabbi, thank you everyone for coming tonight. Wishing everyone Brach V'Hatzlacha, Agut Enach, Shkayach.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.